I want to start the next. Last week we discussed V'lidrosh Lehu D'onas Shari. Very, very big topic. There's a lot to talk about in terms of other issues that come up here. Oops, upside down. Shas Hashmad and some of the other issues in the Gemara. But I want to move on to the next topic. These topics are so big and so rich that we just need to skip some things in order to move on. So the Gemara was commenting. Initially, it was a brisa that got us here. Here on top of Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara said that Misakana V'Eilach, that basically you're supposed to get married on Yom Revi on a Wednesday. Misakana V'Eilach, once there was a sakana, Nagu Ham Lichnos B'Shlishi V'Lo Michu B'Yada. They switched it over to a Tuesday, and there was no objection. Then the Gemara says, Ubesheni lo yichno, still don't take advantage and get married on a Monday. Bimach matza ones mutter. However, if there's an ones, even that would be permissible. Umafrishin is a chasam and a kal leli Shabbos tila shehu osa chabur. And third issue, basically there are three issues in the Gemara in this brisa. One is mishum sakana, to change from Yom Revi to Yom Shlishi. That's the discussion that we already had, how the hegemon came and demanded kol psula shenisa liyomar vi tibal hegemon tchila, that we discussed. The second one is machmas ones, to move things to on Monday. And the third one is that the tchilas maisabia should not be on Leil Shabbos. So this second one, the idea of machmas ones, you can even move from a Tuesday to a Monday. So the Gemara grappled with that, and they wanted to know what is that. So the Gemara had one possibility: how the generals find out when the smorgasbord is being served, and they use that to feed their troops essentially. So we want to avoid that. And then the Gemara says no. Maybe there's another explanation for what that means. Ibai Seima, this is now four lines from the bottom. Maybe that the my machmas ones. Maybe there's another pshat in ones, and that is the following: Kiditani, Hareshaya Pita Afui, V'Tivcho Tavuach Meyeno Mazuk. Again, it's very, I think I said last, it's very poetic. You can almost smell the. The fresh, freshly baked bread, and tivchos tavuach, and yeno is mazug. Everything is everything is set up and ready to go. And nabach meisaviv shalchasan o ima shalkala. And a tragedy strikes, and the father of the chasan or the mother of the kala dies at the right at the cusp of the marriage. So the Gemara continues in almost poetic language. Machnisin is a meis lecheder, v'es a chasan v'es a kala lechupa. Right? It's like you can see the arrangements taking place here. Practically, they move the body into one room, they push the chasan and the kala into another room. Right? But there's another way of saying they delay. Normally, we speed to kvura, as much as possible. But here we delay the kfuras, our way of saying it, but of course in a manner that achieves, as much as kavod ames as possible. So machnisim is ames lecheder, and the chasen and the kala are expedited, to the chuppah. Uboil bilas mitzvah, that part needs some explanation, right? Not only does the chuppah take place, but even bilas mitzvah. Uporesh, and then we separate them, and then we're told v'noeg shivas me'amishta v'achakach. What's not said in the Gemara is that immediately after the poresh is the kvura. Okay, so after the kvura, now you have a clash between two mechayvim, right? So you have the chuppah and possibly the bilas mitzvah, which triggered Shivas Yimei HaMishteh, and then you have the Kvura, which triggers the Shivas Yimei Avelos. But since the Chuppah and the Bilas Mitzvah took place prior. That was the whole point. We wanted it to take place prior. So the halacha is that noeg shivas yemei mishta, the achakach noeg shivas yemei avelus. What you do is you go, you proceed with the happy part for a week, and then you transition into the sad part. V'chol osan hayamim, and during that entire period, hu yashan bein hanashim v'hi yishena bein hanashim, meaning that's what Baal Bilas Mitzvah Poresh. Right after that, we separate them, and we're noeg during the Shiva, certainly. We're noeg, you know, Dvarim Shabbatzina. Not only that, but there's an Iser Yichud as well. The Gemara is going to discuss that. That's very unusual. Generally, there's no Iser Yichud, a husband and a wife. Usually, if you have a, as the Gemara will explain, you know, if you have a chuppas nida, so, you know, there's never been any intimacy, so then there's an iser yichud, you know, in the case of nida. But, you know, once you're past the initial stages of married life, obviously there's no iser yichud for nida. So the question is here, since it was Baal Be'ilas Mitzvah before the Prisha, why is there an Isra Yichud? Why do you say Hu Yashen Beinu Anashim V'hi Yishena Bein Hanashim? So the Gemara is going to discuss that. We're going to go through the whole Gemara first, and then we're going to go back. And then, but this is the fascinating halacha. And then the Gemara adds V'ein Monim Takshitim in Akala Kol Lamed Yom. Moreover, she's a Kala for 30 days, and her appearance, you know, at that point is a matter of great sensitivity, right, to her, to both of them, etc. And therefore, we don't deny her tachshitin, right, even in the context of avelus. There's a debate among the Rishonim what exactly this means, but the Ramban, and certainly everybody following the Ramban, explains that it means much more than you think. It means even in a situation where you're within Shloshim Yom, let's say you're on day 22, let's say, of the marriage, and all of a sudden she loses a close relative. So at that point she's in Shiva. She's in Shiva during the Shloshim of the marriage. Even then we say, Ein Monin Tachshitin Minakala. So it's not 30 days from this Chasanovel situation, according to Moshe Shoran, according to the Ramban. Anyways, that's an interesting halacha. We say that, you know, that a melech and a kala, you know, have special dinim in terms of you know, washing their face, and the kala in terms of wearing tachshitin, because the appearance in both cases is not just a matter of personal vanity, right? In the case of a melech, it's his image, which is very important. Again, this week's parsha is parshas Tetzaveh, right? So the big day kahuna, which are, you know, l'chavod l'sifares, the image of the Kohen is very important. The image of a Dayan is very important. And in the case of Kala, you know, her appearance isn't just a vanity either. And, you know, it sets a certain tone in terms of the respect and the relationship and her self-image and things of that sort. And the halacha understands and recognizes that. Anyways, then the Gemara goes on and says, well, if you paid close attention to what we have been reading, the case is a case where meis aviv shel chasan and ima shel kala. Question is, what would happen if the reverse were to take place? You could also ask, and what would happen if it was some other relative, not even parents? So most were shown with the opinion that other relatives, you know, kol shekein, are going to be treated better than you know, the reverse of this case. In other words, ima shel chasan and aviv shel kala and shar krovim are going to be the same. There are some exceptions, the Rabbeinu Yonah, a few other days in the Rishonim will say no, and I'll explain why later on, that actually regular krovim are treated like aviv shel chasan and ima shel kala, whereas aviv shel kala the ima shel chasan are treated differently. And the reason, I'll just explain very quickly, the reason for that is that while the urgency for shar krovim is even less, let's say there's a hierarchy in urgency, the most indispensable people are Oviv shel Chosan and Ima shel Kal. In terms of their, direct input on preparing, he preparing his son, she preparing her daughter, for this wedding. Right? Then comes, presumably, Aviv shel Kala, and Ima shel Chosan. Right? And then after that comes Krovim. And that's why most Rishonim say, whatever kulas, contingencies are made by virtue of the urgency of the situation and not delaying the wedding, that's the hierarchy. So Krovim certainly cannot be better than Ima shel Chosan and Av shel Kal. However, the Rishonim disagree, say the following. They say it's true that in terms of the urgency, the imperative of having these people and not delaying, their kushpanka, their imprimatur on this wedding, that of course is true. However, there's another issue to consider, and that is the severity of the avelus, which needs to be overcome in favor of moving forward with the chuppah. In other words, what Aviv shel Chosan and Aviv shel Kala and Ima shel Kala shel Chosan and Ima shel Kala have in common is that in all cases we're dealing with the avelus of a parent, and the avelus of a parent is more chamor than the avelus of anybody else. So the stretching to you, Beis Kodesh, and there may be other issues as well. So what you might say is it's true that if it's another karov, a lesser karov, relatively, right? So the urgency to have their imprimatur at this wedding is less. But it's also true that the urgency, brought about by avelus immediately for that loss is also less. So that kind of neutralizes, those two things neutralize each other. Anyway, it's an interesting issue. But the Gemara says, V'dafka aviv shel Chosan o ima shel Kala, delek inish de tarach lehu, they are the indispensable parties in that time, at least, in preparation of this whole thing. Aval ipcha lo. But if it's the opposite, then that is not the case. Now, what happens in ipcha lo? So the simple pshat, and most Rishonim are this opinion, is that what ipcha lo means is that you... instead of going ahead with the chuppah and the bilas mitzvah, which then triggers shiva simei mishta, and that's only going to be followed by the shiva simei avelus, that's the view of most Rishonim. In other words, you have instead of that, what you have is first the kvura, right? Then the shiva simei avelus, and then you have the Mishta, meaning the chuppah and the bilas mitzvah. And then the question is, how long do you have to wait? Is after a week? Or do you already have to wait a month? And in the case of parents, do you have to wait a year? That's a discussion of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so if you look at the Tosas here, Aval Ipchalo, Tosas says, V'hu adin, im avela machmas shar krovim, the issue I just mentioned, shar krovim are like... Aviv shel Kala v'ima shel Chosan, and then Tosfos goes on to discuss Tema Dama Perik Beis Nemayit Katan Meisa Ishtas Elisa Ad Shiavru Gim Regalim Emele Banim Mutalisa La'altem Shempir Yevarivya. And Tosfos goes on to discuss how long you have to wait. There's a Machlok B'Shtin Rambam and the Ravid, how long you have to wait there. The Ravid says if already you're waiting, right, because you're going to do the Kvura before the chuppah, and therefore you're going to do the shivas yimei avelus before the chuppah. So the Ravid says, well, then really you should just wait the full shloshim yom, right? And only go ahead with the chuppah after the shloshim. He doesn't. The Ravid and Ram don't discuss what happens with parents in Yud Beis Chodesh. Rabbeinu Tam here in this Tosas discusses parents. Rabbeinu Tam concludes that you don't have to wait. You only have to wait Shloshim Yom at the most. Anyways, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that you wait 1 week, and after that 1 week, right, you're able to proceed with the chuppah and the Shivus Me'amishtah. Anyways, at least whether it's the Rambam or the Ravid or Bali Tosis, all of them pretty much agree that Aval Ipcha Lo basically means that you do the Kvura before the Chuppah, and therefore you have the Shivus Me'avelus before the Chuppah and the Shivus Me'amishtah. The Rif, the Bahag, and the Ritz Gaius disagree. Their take on Aval Ipcha Lo is as follows. What they say is what really happens, just like in the first case, you go ahead with the Chuppah and even with the Be'ilas Mitzvah first, before the Kavura. Nonetheless, the Ipcha Lo means that in the case of Aviv Shel Chasan Ve'ima Shel Kala, you have Shivas Me'amishtah right after the Chuppah. Now you have the Chuppah, Bilas Mitzvah, Kfura Sameis, normally with Aviv Shel Chasan Ve'ima Shel Kala, Zayin Yimei Mishtah, Zayin Yimei Avelus. In Ipcha Lo, what you have is also the Chuppah and the Bilas Mitzvah, and then the Kfura, but instead of having the Shivas Yimei Amishtah and then the Shivas Yimei Avelus, here you have the Shivas Yimei Avelus and then followed by the Shivas Yimei Amishtah. Wow, that's kind of sensational. The Rosh says, I don't get it. Isn't the whole point of having the Chuppah and the Bilas Mitzvah in order to trigger the earlier Shivas Yimei Amishtah? What's the point of having the early Chuppah if it's going to be followed by Shivas Yimei Avelus? Another way to ask this question, and he might be getting at this, it's just a question of how to read it, is, and can that even work? Meaning, can it be that we can disconnect the Chuppah from Shivas Yimei Amishtah? Well, we know you can disconnect the Kvura from the Shivas Yimei Avelus. Okay. But can you ever disconnect the Chuppah from the Shivas Yimei Amishtah? That's a very interesting question. Right? I mean, it's a much different question. It doesn't have to be Chobot Talia, but a question that comes up all the time. And that is, like, to what extent are Shivas Yimei Amishtah, right, contingent upon the Chuppah? Right? For example, let's say the Chuppah, doesn't takes place on one day, and the first meal of the Me'amishtah is on the next day, right? At night, you have a chuppah that just gets in before Shkia, let's say, or whatever, and then the first meal afterwards is the Shivas of the Mishnah, the Shivas Me'amishtah is going to be on the next day. So does Sheva Brachos extend those full 7 days, or it really begins from the time of the Chuppah, right? It could be Mechalik, these cases, but I'm just trying to highlight there are a number of issues, or Panim Chadashos is another question, right? Panim Chadashos that are required, to be able to say all seven Brachos and not just Asher Bara. So that depends on who is at the first meal of the Shivas Yimei Amishtah, or it depends on who is at the Chuppah. As to what extent do we really view, and that's in a classical case, I mean, mostly we don't have a situation in Chasan Avel, thankfully, and, you do have, a continuous, you have the Chuppah, right, and you have Shivas Yimei Amishtah. Even then, there's an interesting question, to what extent the Shivas Yimei Amishtah include the Chuppah, or are just contiguous to it, maybe triggered by it, maybe still can't disconnect them, but it's still somewhat independent from it. So this is an interesting issue. How do you interpret Aval Ipcha Lo? But if you interpret like the Rif, basically what you have is Shivas Yimei Hamishta, which is a week after the Chuppah. Okay. Anyways, the Gemara goes on to say, yeah. You talk about the father of the Chassan. I personally think that there is. I think it's just symptomatic, but I can't prove that. That's right. I mean, the Gemara, not just Rashi, but the Gemara is zeroing in on how indispensable, the father of the Chassan and the mother of the Kala is, and you know, the financial aspect of it. As they set everything in motion, you know, it's not going to be the same without them, not emotionally, but, you know, financially and so on. You know, if you postpone this, you're not going to be able to recreate it. Personally, I think there are some indications that it's, you know, that it's more than that. I'll just give you one example. But, you know, partly the question, some of the Shonim asked the question about Halat HaSameis, right? So some Rishonim say, well, you know, Halat HaSameis, but, you know, L'shem Mitzvah, you know, for Tachrichim, for other things. So here too, so what's here too? For the Mitzvah of Simcha, of Chuppah. Now, I mean, the Tachrichim, and even the Kavod HaMeis, let's say the Krovim coming to the wedding, you'd say that's not just, you know, it's not gratuitous, for sure. So anything that's not gratuitous, okay, fine. Next level. It's not only not gratuitous, there's a, you know, a spiritual value here. There's a key of a mitzvah here. Okay, fine. Anything with a key of a mitzvah, maybe. But one could have thought that, especially since the paradigm of Halat HaSameis is, you know, Kvod HaMeis and Tachrichim and so on, maybe it's not enough that it shouldn't be gratuitous. It's not enough that it shouldn't be, you know, that it should be l'shem some sort of a kiyum mitzvah. David Dafka has to be a kiyum in the Avelis itself. So it's interesting. The Rajba has a line where he says something like, you know, well, this, you know, the father would have, you know, wanted his son to have a proper wedding. That's his kavod too. So what I'm trying to say is, I personally think that this convergence of Nisuin and Avelus isn't just a problem and an issue. It's also something which halachically and psychologically, or halachically psychologically, you know, really tests both of these institutions. And Aviv Shel Chasan and Ima Shel Kala, because of the role that they play as reflected by the financial component, but not necessarily only limited to that, is part of this equation, both on the Avelis side and on the Simchas Chasan side. But having said that, again, as we'll see in the next line of the Gemara, if it wasn't for the fact that there was some financial aspect, maybe that wouldn't be enough, or that wouldn't be driven, you know, home sufficiently. Oh, because the Gemara goes on to say that Amar Rav Chizkiya lo shanu ela shenasan mayim al gabi basar, aval anasan mayim al gabi basar mizdabein. Again, that the emotional side, it makes no difference whether it's nasan mayim al gabi basar, but on the financial side, it does. Meaning, if it's too late, you know, to put the smorgasbord back, you know, in the Pandora's box or whatever it is, you know, I guess I'm mixing my metaphors, but you know, then that's one thing. You know, if you can put it in, you know, if you have a deep freeze, I guess, and, you know, when you take it out, whether it's a week later for the Rambam or a month later for the Ravid, you know, it's going to be fine, then you should do that. All right. Maybe you could also claim, well, then we're, it's true that, you know, father and mother won't be there, but father and mother's, you know, good work will still be with you. Or you need also, you know, a tangible reminder of the, you know, practical consequences. Yeah.
Right. But if the preparations are already made, what's the difference? Who died?
Right.
Well, it seems like, I mean, what they're emphasizing is that, you know, it continues to be, here, look at Rashi. You know, Dafka Nokat Avish Shokhasan Shu Hatoreach, not just Zesha Tarach, but Sarche Su'uda, V'ima Shokala Hamechina Latachitin. You know, so.
But either they finished the preparations.
Well, I guess they're, you know, I mean, when you make a wedding, you know, it's, you know, you think you made all the preparations, but, you know, you're never quite, yeah.
Just need to have your checkbook in.
What?
Just need to have your checkbook.
Yeah, that's all you need? Okay. Anyways, Amar Rava, Ubikrach is another distinction, also, which has, you know, financial, you know, flavor. Afal pishen osan mayim al gabi basar mizdabi. Right? Because there's always somebody, you know, there's always a buyer. Right? Nekrach. Amar Papa Ubekhar, right, in the smaller village, Av Bishalonos on Mayim Bagabi Basar, Lo Mizdabi. Then the Gemara says, Eladrav Chizda Hecha Mishkachasla, Ravashi Kigon Mata Machasya, the Mafka Mikrach, Umafka Mikvar. I mean, I'm not sure where the Kriyas HaMegillah, you know, issue would work out. But anyways, okay. But these are obviously very pragmatic things. I'm just suggesting that they are pragmatic, but they also bring home the you know, involvements and the devotion of the people involved. Tani Kavasid Rav Chizda.
If you're pragmatic, then as the pragmatics change, then it's not going to be very...
No, that's also true, 100%. Well, as, you know, especially if they... Previous thing that you said is true. About the checkbook. Okay. Hareshahoya pita yafuya vitivko tavoach vieno mazug vinosan bayim al gami basar umeis aviv shachasan ohima shokala machnisan sameis lcheder shachasan asakal lachupa bo bilos mitzu poresh vinoik shivis mea mishta vyakak noik shivis mea velus vikolas on yamun yashim ben anashim ishta yishene ben anashim. Fine. That's a brisa that repeats and reinforces much of what we just discussed. And then the Gemara goes on and says, V'chein, moreover, Misha Pirso Ishto Nida, this is what I referred to before, if a woman becomes a Nida right before the Chuppah, let's say, Hu Yashen, or before the Biyah, Hu Yashen Beinu Hanashim, V'hi Yishena Bein Hanashim. And then the Gemara continues, Ein monim min chakchita min akala kol amid yom, as we discussed. Either way, benkach u benkach, lo yival, lo be'erev Shabbos, v'lo b'motzoi Shabbos. This is an issue that we touched on in the beginning of the year, right? When you can make a marriage, a wedding, what about Friday, what about motzoi Shabbos, what about Shabbos, Yerushalmi, the Bavli, the Rambam. Okay, fine. Now the Gemara is going to analyze some of these issues a little more specifically. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, we learned before, that we separate them, right? Now this Isur Yichud, right, is built on two things. Number one, Chashash, which requires Dafka Yichud. That's a problem, because there already was Bias Mitzvah, and the Gemara is going to get back to that in a couple of minutes. But it's also built on another assumption, and that is that in the case of Avelos, we're not talking about Nida anymore, and we're talking about Avelos, that that there is a prohibition. Right? So the Gemara says, Misayel el Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Afi Sha'amru ein Avelos b'moed, even though there's no Avelos on a Moed, because the Simcha of Moed is a stira to Avelos, Aval, Tvarim Shel Tzina, right, matters that are Avelos, matters that are private, no egg, the low key things are no egg. And the Gemara says, Darish, and so that's what the Gemara is saying here, that basically we're comparing Shiva Simei Mishta to a Yom Tov. And what we're saying is, just like on a real Yom Tov, when there's no Neo Gavelus, there's still an Isra of Dvarim Shibitzina, so too Shiva Simei Mishta. And as Rishonim all point out, the if you look here very quickly, Misayel and Rabbi Yochanan, the Tosis points out, Moed b'chosan mashva osan b'komakom, very important idea, that we compare Yom Tov and Shiva Simei HaMishteh, Ha'idatani perkam de Moed Katan, as we learn, chosan shenolad bo nega nosan ozainime HaMishteh, right? That if a person... you know, is either Yontif or Shiva Simei Mishta, you don't have the Kohen pronounce the Negoim. Lo ulitzaliso ulitzuso v'chein beregel nosono kol yimos harega. What's fascinating is that there is really a major debate between the Rishonim regarding this issue of Yom Tov. The Rambam Shita happens to be that on Moed there is no Dvarim Shebetzino. The Rambam's girsa in the Gemaras, which seem to proclaim this halacha, is that on Shabbos there's an Isra of Dvarim Shebetzina, but dafka not on Yom Tov. And the most girsos are against that, and the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam in particular is against that, etc. one of the reasons Ramban's against it is because it's this Gemara and this, you know, comment of Tosfos. Because here the Gemara clearly says that there's an Isur of Dvarim Shebetzina in Shiva Simei Mishta, and generally we equate Shiva Simei Mishta and a Moed. It's Yom Tov Didei and Yom Tov Dida. So one of the things, the interesting things is that it emerges from the Rambam here that Shiva Simei Mishta is actually more comparable to Shabbos than it is to Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a stira to Avelus, even Dvarim Shebetzina. Shabbos, of course, you know, is the opposite, because Shabbos is part of every Avelus, right? It's part of the Minyan Avelus, even though we're not knowing Dvarim Shebefarhesya. So you would have thought that Yimei Mishta, Shiva Simei Mishta, are like a Yom Tov. On the other hand, they're not an objective and a tzibur moed. They're a personal, subjective moed. So for the Rambam, the Isra of Dvarim Shebetzina applies to Shabbos and to Shiva Simei Mishta, but not to Moed. Even though the Rambam does think that with regard to Negayim, we treat Shiva Simei Mishta like we treat Moed. So it's an interesting issue. Maybe we'll get a chance to discuss more of it later. It also has to do with, you know, the difference between Oneg and Simcha. Shabbos has Oneg, we carcel Shabbos Oneg. Yom Tov has Simcha. There's some question whether Shabbos also has Simcha. You know, there's a famous Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi speaks about what happens when Purim falls out on a Shabbos. You know, what we call Purim Meshulash sometimes, you know. For those who have, based on the Yerushalmi, have the practice not to have the Seuda on Shabbos. So the reason for that is, you know, a drush of the Yerushalmi, that somehow there's an incompatibility between the Simcha of Shabbos and the Simcha of Purim, which is a consequence of Kiddush HaChodesh. So Tor Tmima, when he comments on that Yerushalmi in the end of the Megillah, so he says, oh, this Yerushalmi seems to say that Shabbos has Simcha, not just Oneg. And that's a very big point of controversy.
Who said that?
What?
Who said that?
The Tor Tmima makes a Sa'ara on this Yerushalmi. Oh, this Yerushalmi is one of the is a raya for those people who think Shabbos does have sin. The Ramban, when he wants to explain that, you know, why it is that there's no avelus, you know, b'moed, it's not part of the minyan avelus, and Shabbos is, again, the Ramban happened to think that, unlike the Rambam, the Dvarim Shebetzina are knowing b'moed. But the Ramban is trying to explain something different, and that is, how come Shabbos is olel the minyan avelus, whereas Yom Tov is Mevatel Avelus, right? So again, Rashi addresses this question. Rashi basically says, you know, a couple of things, but the main thing that Rashi says is, listen, you know, every Shiva includes a Shabbos, right? And that's just the way it is. It's always going to be that way. So unless you want to eke it out always for eight, if you're never going to, you can't have a Shiva a 7-day period without a Shabbos. I would add, I don't know if this is the point or not, and, you know, Shabbos is, because Shabbos is part of the fabric of every single week, you know, so of course it's part of every Avelus too. That part of that bubble week, that first week, you know, where you're, you know, readjusting and to a new reality, and you know, both in a state of paralysis and in the beginnings of a re-engagement with life, issues we'll talk about, is, you know, to have that first Shabbos as part of that Avelus, you know, and with that, you know, kind of interesting dialectic of you know, not explicit Avelus, but, you know, Dvarim Shebetzina. That's my additional aura, but I believe it to be true. Anyways, Yom Tov, of course, is a different matter entirely, because that's a coincidence of the calendar. I mean, most Shivas, most weeks of Shiva, you know, do not include Yom Tov, and when they do, it's a coincidence. And as such, I wouldn't say it's built in to the Shiva, you know, that you have this, you know, Yom Kodesh, you know, where you're coping and coping in a different way than you're coping on Yom Chol. I mean, it can happen, but it's not structured into every Avelus. So for Rashi, you know, and others, that's a good enough explanation. And I'm just adding why it isn't just practically so, but there's also a kiyum in it, that, you know, Shabbos is olel min avelus and Yom Tov is not. But the Ramban himself, in Torah Adam, suggests a different pshat also, and that is Shabbos is oneg. There's no stira between oneg and avelos, right? They're not so conducive either, but there's not a stira, you know, minei obey. But simcha and avel are stira, right? I mean, it's miyagon the simcha, you know, meavel leyom tov. Talk about Megillas Esther, right? So that's why, you know, the Shiva is contradicted by Yom Tov, and it's obliterated by Yom Tov. Whereas in the case of Shabbos, you know, you have to make an adjustment in terms of the external expression of it, but at least in principle, there's no stira between the concept of Avelos and the concept of Shabbos. Yeah. If you feel that way, how do you think that we feel? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure what you mean by avails on Yom Tov. If the avails happened before Yom Tov, then there is no avails.
Right.
If the mess was Niftar on Yom Tov, there is no avails either.
Right.
You're just on Nida. So is that the case we're talking about? With Barmashim and Sinma?
Well, we only start talking about avails tonight, so the 6 weeks are not whatever. But no, I'm talking in both cases. What I'm saying is that Shabbos is Ola L'minyan
Avelos. I'm talking about the Shita that you have, that you're knowing Avelos with sin on. Is that really kind of like an Avelos where there is no Avelos?
Yeah. Correct. That, you know, where you, in a kind of an Anina situation in particular. Aninas, which we'll get to in a second, but even if there was a Kavura, let's say, on the Moed or whatever.
Yeah, so there was a Kavura. Let's presume there's a Kavura.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
There is no avelos until after.
Yeah, I'm not talking about being wiped out. I'm talking about it in a case of.
It's not wiped out.
Right, where it's chal.
According to the Ramban, then the avelo is not sitting shiva yet.
Or he might be. He's not right. He's not sitting shiva. It's after. Could be after the kavura.
Yeah.
Yes.
But would still be no way avelos.
Dvarim shivatzina. Correct.
And I'm getting ahead of myself, but
how would that
work into what happens after the
well, there you have that's not Torah Shabbat. I mean, that's
right. So since he's already been knowing Torah Shabbat, he's a
no. It doesn't help. Yeah, I mean, you have the full shiva after.
Yeah, full shiva. So that will be the whole whole 9 yards.
Yeah, the intense shiva. Correct. Okay, so, these things that come up in the Gemara, as you see. So, Avol Dvarim Shebetzin and Noeg, so as I say, that is the Girsa of the Rambam here, obviously, was Avol Pi She'amru Ein Avelus B'Shabbos, Avol Dvarim Shebetzin and Noeg. That's the Girsa of the Rambam had in this Gemara, apparently, where, you know, I say, but one of the things that comes out of all this is also the relationship between Moed, Shabbos, and Shivas Mishnah, which is an interesting issue. Darsh Rav Yosef Berei Derava, Mishmei Derava, Lo Shno Lishalo Baal, Aval Baal, Ishto, Yishena Imo. So, that is a statement that is made with regard to Pirsanida. Right. So, the Gemara says, V'hachad Baal Askinan. In this particular case of a chasan avel, we say that if it's avid shal chasan and ima shal kala, what happens? You're nichnas lechopa, bol bilas mitzvah, u poresh. And then we say, but still, hu yashe min anash, and he shena ben anash. But it's already hacha b'bo'al askinan. Right? That. So what's going on here? Uktani, and yet we learn, hu yashe min anash, and he shena ben anash. So the Gemara says, no, the statement was made only regarding Pirsa Ishtonida before Bia Rishona. But after Bia Rishona, right, if it's whether it's Pirsa Ishtonida or Avelos, it doesn't make a difference. There's no Iser Yichud. The Gemara says, okay. V'chein Katani. The Gemara says, but it says V'chein Katani, which means that there are two situations of Hu Yashem Ben Anashim Yishen Ben Anashim. One is Pirsa Nida Kodem Bia Rishona, And the other wasn't in this case of Chasanovel, in the case of Avelis. So the Gemara's Hachi Kamer, Bechein, Misha Pirsa Ishtanida, Velo Baal, Hu Yashem Anashim, Ishta Yishena Bein Anashim, but not to link it up to the rest. The Gemara having difficulty with this. So the Gemara says, Memra, Davelis, Kilale Minida. So what are we, look at Rashi for a moment. The Gemara says, what are we more concerned about? Kilale, Lavar Aleha, Minida. Davelis, Lo Mehemnisle, Vianida, Mehemnisle. It sounds like what the Gemara is saying is, in the case of Nida, if it was after Bia Rishona, there's no Iser Yichud, ever. Right? But in the case of Avelus, right, even though there already was Bia Rishona, we are worried. So does that mean that Lememar Davelus Kilele Minida, that people are more makel in violating Avelus, and therefore we have to be more machmir to create a gzera to protect it than Nida? That's the Gemara's question. After all, Amar Bitzot Barchanina, Amar Avuna, Kol Malachos Sheisha Osalabayla, Nida Osalabayla, Chutzim Zikas Hakos Atzos Hamita Harchatzas Panav Yadav Viraglav. Right. So, in discussing the Harchakos of Nida, the Gemara makes it clear that the Kol Malachos Sheisha Osalabayla Nida can do, except for the ones that imply a certain greater level of affection, whatever. And that's Mzikas Hakos, Hatzos Amita, Chatzos Panaviyana Viragla. Fine. Vilu Gabi Avelus, Tanya. Yet, when it comes to Avelus, we're told, Avisham, Reina Namar Shailochu Fasish, Talios, Kochele, Asvios, Pokeses. If she's an Avelus, he can't force her to put on whatever it is, makeup, other things. Then the Samru, Mozeges, Kos, Umatzaslo, Hamita, Marchatzoslo, Panaviyana Viragla. But there's no equivalent Tarchaka in the case of Avelus. So what do we see? That we're more machmir in Nida than we are in Avelus. Right? And that's the opposite of Hu Yashem Ben Anashim, Hi Yishena Ben Anashim. What's going on here? So the Gemara says, Lokasha, Kan Bavelus Velus Didei, Kan Bavelus Dida. Very fascinating distinction. Right? When he's an Avel, we're worried that there'll be violations. When she's an Avela, we're not as worried. Okay. Interesting. The Gemara says, "Va'aviv shalchasa no ima shalkalak tani." In the case of that we're dealing with, right? It's either she's in avelus or he's in avelus. No distinction is made. And in both cases, we say that if one of them is an avel, right? Bo bias mitzu poresh hu yashem ben anashim hi shena ben anashim. So we can't distinguish between avelus didei and avelus dida. So the Gemara says, "No, kikatani ashara." No, when it comes to the other matters, they're equivalent. When it comes to this matter, we distinguish. The Gemara says, "Mi shiny bein avelus tidei, avelus tida." But Atanya, mi shemes chomiv o chamaso, a person's father-in-law, mother-in-law passes away, and yachalocho fisishto lios kochelasios pokeses. He can't pressure his wife that she should, adorn herself, beautify herself under those conditions. She's an avelus. Ella. Kofamitaso, noegim avelus, not only that, he should join her in certain expressions of avelus. Bechein, he, shemes chamiha o chamosa, if her father-in-law or mother-in-law, meaning his father or mother, passed away, then eina rasha'a lios kochesas vios pokeses, she shouldn't dress, normally, put on her, usual adornments. Ela kofa, Mitasav in Ohegasimo Avelus. Not only that, she should join in some of the expressions of the Avelus. Right? So what do we see? Once again, that there's no difference between Avelus today and Avelus Tida. So the Gemara says, Tani, Bavelus today, Hu Yashem Ben Anashim, Yishto Yishena Ben Anashim. Oh. So the Gemara says, Havachain Ktani. So the Gemara says, Kiktani, Akicho Vea Pirkus. Bahaimo Ktani. You can see the Gemara is trying hard to make this distinction and it's just not going. What is the emo? My love, emo bimita. Again, this idea that of hu yashan ben anashim hi shena ben anashim. The Gemara says lo emo babayis. Who could amar le Rabbi Chiya Rav Lechia Berei, this is a very interesting halacha. Biapa nahog avelusa, the lo biapa lo tinhog avelusa. We'll try to get back to this. Meaning there's a halacha that, this halacha, this idea that somebody should be, you know, expressing avelus in the loss of an in-law, in other words, the wife's parents or the husband's parents, is only a din in biapa nahog avelus, only in the presence of the avel themselves. If you're in the presence of a wife who lost her parent, right, then he should be noeg in her presence certain nihuge avels. But now she's not. What does ima mean? It's a big machlokas of Rishonim. Is it ima be'ir? Is it ima babai? Is it imo literally in her presence? What kind of halacha is this? Just kvod ishto v'kvod bala? Pashtus? Or is it something more than that? Maybe we'll get a chance to get back to it. Okay. Either way, the Gemara here is struggling with this idea of there being an Isra Yichud in the context of Avel. So finally, this is the punchline. The Gemara says, Ravashi Amar, Mika Medamis, Avelusa de Hachel, Avelusa de Alma. Let's remember what we're talking about here. This brisa, this statement, that in the context of Avelus, we separate the husband and wife, that we don't trust them together, even though it's post Be'ila Rishona. It's not in all Avelus cases. It's in the case of Chasan Avel Avelus di Alma Chamir Velo Asilus Al Zulebe. A regular Avelus, we're not choshesh that people are going to violate the Isra of Tashmish Shambita. We don't need to separate them. Because people are respectful of each other's Avelus. Avelus Tahacha, in the case of Chasan Avel, that's a different story. Kivan da kilu rabanan asi lizal zulebe. This whole thing is such a peculiar, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster. And as it is, we're making concessions because of it. Meaning what happened? Fellow died. Normally we would have rushed to the kvura, and that would have been followed immediately and properly by the avelus. Instead, what happened was they're having a whole party, bol bilas mitzvah, possibly shiva simi amishta, right? And only then are you going to finally disconnected a week, more than a week later, after all the festivities, after having delayed the kvura, delayed the avelus, right? Everything was redone or compromised in some sense, and all of a sudden we're going to have shiva simi amishta. Avelus. So now, in this particular case, we're really concerned that, you know, if we don't separate them, that osil is alzulebe. So fascinating. The Gemara says, listen to this line. The Gemara says, my kula. What do you mean there was a kula? There was a kula in the Avelus. What do you mean by that? Elaim bediktani bol bilas mitzvu poresh. What's the kula? Because they went ahead and they had the chuppah and even the bilas mitzvah before the kavura. Hasa mishum delochala velusa. That's not a kula in avelus, because then the avelus didn't start yet. Ilu Rabbi Lazar ad sheyesu yipesach habayis, ilu Rabbi Yeshua ad sheyesu magolo. Avelus doesn't begin until either kavura, right, or some yetzim pesach abayis, or yistamagolo, which is some sort of a kvura. That is a fascinating gemara.
What about aninus?
Elag d'tani noeg shivas me'amishta v'achach noeg shivas me'avelus. So the gemara says, no, there is a kula even post avelus, even technically post formal avelus. That is, once there is a kvura, normally that triggers shivas me'avelus. But in this particular case, the shivas me'amishta, right, disrupted, you know, the kvura and the shivas me'avelus. So there's still a kula. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now this end of the Gemara is very fascinating. So what I want to zero in right now is the following question. You know, in light of the very beginning, and in light, let's say, back to the very beginning, and in light of the end. Okay, and that is as follows. What happened here? Right, we know what happened. You had a chasan, right? The families were in a state of great simcha, or at least, you know, anticipating great simcha, and, you know, sadly, you know, one of the heads of the household, you know, tragically, you know, didn't make it to the chuppah, right? That's what happened. So halacha is trying to, you know, contend with this tragic situation, this complex situation, right? So on the one hand, there are the requirements of the tsar, of the avel. On the other hand, there are requirements of the chuppah. So what do we do? What are we being told? If it's avi shechasan v'ima shekala, whether it's purely financial, or the financial just puts it over the top, or the financial accentuates the other parts of it, however you want to say it, for the moment, doesn't matter, right? If it's the extreme, the indispensable ones are going to be lost, right? We give priority to the simcha over the tsar, over the avel, correct? Oh. And what do? Rebol bias mitzvah, we're nichnas l'chuppah, we're bo bias mitzvah, and then you have shivus mei mishnah, and then shivus mei avelus. Fine. Question is, why is that the best thing to do? There are two stages of tsar, as you correctly said a minute ago, right? Aninus is one, and avelus is the other. Generally speaking, and this is what the Gemara says in the end, Gemara brings this issue up in the end, aninus, right, is at misha mesa muta lefanov, right? And avelus begins at the time, roughly speaking, of the kavura, or when the asek b'kavura sames is ended. So, is there an iser tashmish amita bo bilas mitzvah b'shas aninus, or only b'shas avelus? Anybody know? What? Well, being pater from mitzvah is not the same as saying that there's an iser tashmish amita, right? So this is a very major argument between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam, seemingly, was very strict about the stages. I say seemingly because we're going to moderate to both of the shitas as we go forward. But seemingly, the Rambam is very, very clear. The Rambam says, Avelus begins, as we know, b'shas kavura, and before that is aninus. So the Rambam says, the nihuge Avelus all begin after the kvura. They have nothing to do with aninus. Right? That's the Rambam here, if you look in the sheets that we have. Look at look at Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. This is line 13, or 12, 13. Me'enus ha'yischai v'adam be'eval. When does Avelus become obligatory? Mishayista magolo. Fine. Comes from our Gemara, among others. Avakozman shalonikbra meis. Eino aser bedavar min advarim. Sha'aval aser bahen. There's no prohibition. The dine, the isuri Avelus, do not apply yet. Umepnei tamze, rachatz, David, v'sach, kishemesa yeled, terem sheikaver. Okay, so the Rambam says, the nihugi avelus, right, do not begin at aninus. What are the nihugi avelus? Now look at Perek Hey. Go to page 2. Look at Perek Hey Halacha Aleph 7 on page 2. Elu dvarim sha'avel asur bahen. What are the nihugi avelus, or the suri avelus? Biyom Rishon min Ator b'Sharyom min Nevrayim, Osur l'Saper l'Chabes l'Irchotz l'Asuch l'Shamish mitaso lino l'Asando l'Asus v'Lacha l'Ikros b'Divrei Torah l'Zkof Amita l'Froes Rosh l'Ishol Shalom hakol achad asar davar. There are 11 things that are nihugei avelus. For our purposes right now, included among them is Tashrei Shemitah. Okay? So, according to the Rambam, basically, our Gemara works out pretty well. There are some questions for the Rambam, but mostly our Gemara works out very well. Why? Because if you ask yourself the question, why are we hurrying, right? Why don't we just do the Kfuras HaMeis? Let me make the question a little sharper, because Tosas had made the question sharper. The urgency of the question is a little sharper in that, what's Doraisa, what's Drabana? And what's more chamor, Aninus or Avelus? So, you know, I'm going to present this as going forward a little as a more complicated question, because it just happens to be, not my fault. But the Pashtus, right, when you first think about it, it seems like Aninus is more chamor than Avelus. There's a debate whether or not Avelus is Doraisa Drabanan. The Bali Tosas are of the opinion that Avelus is Drabanan. In Baikata and elsewhere, here there's a reference to it, which we'll read in one more minute. The view of the Gaonim and the Rambam and the Rif, finally the Ramban agrees with this too, after, you know, going through both sides, is that Avelus, Yom Rishon, of Miso Kavura, is Doraisa, but the rest of the days is Drabanan. Look at the Rambam for a minute. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Also fascinating for other reasons. Number 7 on page 1. Mitzvah Saseles Abel Ala Krovim Shenemar Bachalti Chatas Hayom Ayita Bein Hashem. That's a problem which we'll get back to. The Ein Avelus Minat Torah Ela B'Yom Rishon B'Vad Shehu Yom HaMisa V'Yom HaKfura. Right, if it's the day of Misa and Kfura together, if you do the Kfura on the Yom HaMisa, right, then the rest of that day is Avelus Darais, according to the Rambam. Avol Shar HaShiva Yomim Eino Din Torah. Right? The story of Yaakov Avinu. Nitna Torah v'nischad shahalacha. And then we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu, fascinating, this is a Yerushalmi that the Rambam is quoting. Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun lehem liYisrael shiva simei avelus v'shiva simei mishta. Is that a coincidence, by the way? I think not. Meaning, two opposite things. What we'll find, phenomenologically, in the halacha, and I think it's Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun is part of this, is that there's a tremendous parallel between Simcha and Avil. I think that's part of the Purim story too, by the way, part of the Benafochu, is, you know, again, those psukim are, you know, Miyagon L'Simcha Me'Avil Yom Tov. They're parallel opposites. The structure, I've spoken about this in the past, I believe in it strongly. The whole structure of Simcha and of Tzar are parallel of each other. Meaning, there's one, the first day, in other words. There's the first 3 days, special halachos. 7 days, 30 days, right? Yud Beis Chodesh, for Tzar and for Simcha. There's a very famous view of the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos counts the Tkiya b'chatzotzros of Moed and of Muchama as one mitzvah. And the Kesef Mishnah in the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, Perek Aleph, quotes this Rambam, Ahare Yosem. He says, I just don't understand how the Rambam could count, you know, the Simcha of, you know, the Tkiya of Karbonos, you know, on a Moed, And the tkiya of Muhammad as one mitzvah, right? But that's part of the story. Moshe tikkun. It's not a coincidence, right? There's an emotional parallel between the highs and the lows. First of all, I believe there are two things, and this is also Purim, part of the Purim story. During the highs, you're supposed to remember to keep perspective, you know, the lows. It makes you appreciate the highs more, and it also, you know, protects you from going a little overboard, you know, into holelus and other things, or taking it for granted. And certainly this is the case during the bleakest periods, right, it's critical to remember, you know, simcha and the concept and the phenomenon of simcha. But in addition to that, the challenges of integrating, you know, emotional excesses, whether they're happy ones or chalila sad ones, is very parallel. It has to be. Right? I mean, we'd all rather have the, you know, one challenge than the other. But the idea of, you know, how in a balanced life, you know, it's normatively balanced, where we're obligated to, you know, to balance different emotions and different, you know, obligations and so on. You know, how we, you know, manage, you know, these excesses, the good excesses and the bad excesses, or the unhappy excesses, is a parallel kind of thing. And the idea that you don't just move forward, you know, in a linear way, but it's, you know, sometimes two steps forward, one step back. It has to be. You have to revisit things. That not all emotional changes, you know, come at the same time. You know, the idea of a range, you know, whether it's the Yom Rishon, the Shlosha, the Shiva, the Shloshim, the Yud Beis Kodesh, etc., and how in each you have different ways, not just levels of intensity, but as I say, it's more complicated than that. You know, it's very parallel. It's a very parallel kind of expression. Anyways, the point is, the Rambam holds that Yom Kvuro Mesa in Avelus is Dorais. Everything else is Drabana. Bali Tosas hold everything is Drabana. What about Aninus? Aninus is certainly, there are aspects of Aninus that are certainly Doraisa. Right? I mean, the Lo Chalti Ba'oni Menu is a Pasuk in Chumash, you know, Maisa Sheni, you know, the Yisra Vachilas Kodshim, you know, to be Oved the Avoda, these are Dinim Doraisa. You know, the description of Acharisa Ki Yomar. And actually, the psukim, this is what makes it a little complicated, that the Rambam is quoting here, "Achalti chata sayom ayita be'enei Hashem." That's really about aninus, not avelus, right? Now, the Isra v'achilas basar v'yayin, and the other manifestations recorded in the Mishnah, and then later in the Gemara, in the third parak of Brachos, that's not as clear that they are Doraisa, but even then, there's a major debate among the Rishonim in the general thrust of things, let's say. I think it's, again, more complicated in the details. You know, we say, Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav, it's a Mishnah in Brachos. You know, that's an Onain. You know, Patur Mi Kriyashma, Mi Tvila, Mi Tvilin, Mi Kol Mitzvah Swa Muras Patur. Right, and then we talk about the, you know, the people who are involved in the Kfuras Hames, and what their level of exemption is, and so on. So one general idea, and again, it's much more complicated to break it down to different things and so on, is that this is all kind of very pragmatic, meaning there's Esek Mekvuras Ameis, it's a kind of a Tirdas Mitzvah, Osek B'Mitzvah, things of that sort. And when we say, you know, Potter Mekriyas Shem Mitzvah, Mitzvah, we're talking about a Purim, like Osek Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah. And that's Rashi's view, and so on. The Baalei Tosfos understood, at least partially, that it's Osur B'mitzvahs. And they start quoting, you know, Kihem Chayenu, you know, only, you know, Bizman, you know, Sha'ata B'chayim. It sounds like, you know, being an Onain is not just about Esek Mekvura Sameis, but it's a certain emotional state which doesn't allow for the performance of certain mitzvahs. Your mufka legamri, it's also to do them. It's almost, what is it, loeg larash, or it's inappropriate, whatever the case may be. The Isur Basar V'yayin is tricky also. I mean, the Beinu Tam, quoted in Tosfos and Brachos, thought it was very pragmatic. They tell the story there how when Rabbeinu Tam's sister died, Rabbeinu Tam was eating, you know, Basar V'yayin. Pretty, very explicit story, you know what I mean? I don't know whether in today's world, you know, we'd be hearing, you know, about this kind of thing. But Rabbeinu Tam, you know, felt this was the right thing, or at least that it wasn't the wrong thing. Rabbeinu Tam's view was he wasn't being Osek B'Kvuras, his sister. I guess she had a family of her own. He wasn't maybe even in the city. And he felt that the Isur Basar V'yayin is a din in in Tirda Bekvura Sameis. The Ra'ah, the Ritva, earlier the Ramban and Taurus Adam, though not as explicit, clearly understood that the Yisra Basar V'yayin, maybe even the Rambam, Basar V'yayin is not about Tirda Bekvura Sameis. At least not directly. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that the Brachos side of Aninus is a lot less clear. But even then, one can make the point that the Acharisa Kiyomar, both emotionally, right, and even in terms of consequences, that Aninus, in some respects, is a more intense period of Avelus than Avelus is. If that's the case, so you can ask several interesting questions. How come the Nihuge Avelus, according to the Rambam, don't begin by Aninus and only by Avelus? But that's the Rambam Shita, right? Another question you could ask, and how come Minyan Avelus itself only begins Bishas Kavura? But anyways, the Rambam had a very clear view. The Bali Tosfos were bothered by this whole issue. The Ramban happens to take the position, it flows partly from the Gemara in Brachos, which again the Rambam may have had a different reading of, and that is, Ramban's view is that Tash B'Shamita and certain other Nihugei Avelus actually begin from Shas Misa. Ramban says, we'll read it inside, if not today, then in 2 weeks when we finish with this, Ramban in Torah Sa'adam says that with the exception of Tfiyas Amita, Ni'ilas Asandal, Atifas Arosh, the other Nihuyi Avelus mostly begin with Misa and apply equally to owning. That is the piece, you can just look at it on page 2, starting from line 1819. This Torah Adam, this is the Ramban's Chibur on Inyani Avelus, right? Lama lo chivu abavelus bishemesam with the lefanov. Shu ikar aninus vi ikar mirirusa shal adam, valov tzivach risa ki yomar. Yeshlomer devade noe gube mixas divre avelus. Osir bechitza besicha, kalvachomer mechilas basar shtias yair, which is fascinating. That's what he's getting from Aninus. You know, he thinks it's not kfur sanez. Bachilas kol tzorko, nam yasra lov, ain't so much rasa besimcha betisporez. So on, one of them is Tash B'Shamita. The Ramban's view, basically, is that there's an Iser Tash B'Shamita and most other Nihugei Avelus really begin B'Shas Aninus. With the exception of Kfiyas Amita, Tifas Arosh, Nilas Asando. Later on, the Ramban says, I don't understand, why don't they just start the Shiva from Aninus? And he gives two answers. We'll get back to that. The Rambam wouldn't have asked that question. Because for the Rambam, it's at least immediately and obviously clearer that Aninus Lechud and Avelus Lechud, the Ramban seems to merge them more, although I was going to show you that the Rama merges a little bit and the Ramban, you know, distinguishes to some extent. So it's not as clear cut. But the problem is as follows. If you hold like the Rambam, so you have to explain this phenomenon. Why is it that Aninus, which seems more intense and more doraisa and more, why doesn't it have Nihugim? Fine. But once that's the reality, which you should try to explain, the sugya here is not half bad. What do I mean? If you ask the question, why not wait till after the kvura to do the bias mitzvah, to do the chuppah, right? The answer is for the Rambam. Of course you shouldn't wait till after. There's no Iser Tash B'Shamita, right, or chuppah prior to the Avelus, Bismano Aninus. It's only an Iser afterwards. So that's why you do this quick marriage, right, and then only then do you do the Kvura. Moreover, in the end of the Sugya, what happened? The Gemara is looking for Kulas of Avelus. Gemara says, you know what, we're Machmir in the Avelus of the Chasen Avel, and we're machmir that there should be an Iser Yichud. Why? Why? Because we're very makel in this Avelus to begin with. It's becoming very difficult, right? How are we makel? So the Gemara says, we're makel what? Because we allowed the chuppah and the bilas mitzvah to take place. What does that have to do with the Avelus? That was B'Shas Aninus. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So if you hold like the Rambam, that Aninus the Chud and Avelus the Chud, right, and the Nihugim don't even begin until really Avelos. The end of the Gemara is pretty good. The beginning of the Gemara is good, and the end of the Gemara is good. There's only one problem with the Rambam. And that's Ipchalo. If there's really no Iser of Tashmish Amita Bizman Hohaninus, so let's say the mother of the Chasan and the father of the Kala, or the father of the Kala, die. Right? Why shouldn't you go ahead with the Chuppah and the Bilas Mitzvah? There's no Iser. Right? What?
That's the pragmatics.
What do you mean pragmatics?
What?
No, that's the reason. No, there's not so much urgency, but there's not so much...
There's no Easter, right?
There's no Easter anyway, so it's a big deal. Unless you say something like, it's true, there's no Easter, Tash Mishamita, but having a chuppah and a bilas mitzvah, you know, when it's not necessary, is a little bit of bizayin ameis, right? Machnisim sameis l'cheder. Is that that too? Why should you should do this while Machnisin Sameis l'cheder, and you should hold up the kvura for it? It's not an Iser Aninus, but it's an Iser Bizayin Ameis of delaying the kvura. That's what you have to explain for the Rambam. Otherwise, the sugya is quite good for the Rambam. But according to the Ramban, who holds that there's an Iser Tashmish Amita, not just Mizman Avelos, but already Mizman Aninus. There are two really difficult things to try to explain here. One is, you have to violate Tashma Shamita Shalaninos, or you have to violate Iser Tashma Shamita Shalavelos, right? So why is one better than the other? So do the Kvura right away, and then do the Tashma Shamita and the Chuppah. It's the same problem for the Ramban, right? That's one question. The second question, one second, is the end of the sugya. Namely, Bishlam, according to the Rambam, when the Rambam says, listen, there wasn't a kula in the Avelus, there was only a kula in the Aninus, and that's not a kula anyway. But according to the Ramban, now, the Ramban also knows that there's a difference between Aninus and Avelus. Technically, what the Gemara says in the end of the sugya is still correct, but the problem is, it's a technicality. I mean, what we don't all understand... If it's the same Iser Tashmish Amita of Avelus that begins Bizmanu Aninus, so you're going to stand on ceremony and say, oh yeah, but it's the Aninus, it's the Avelus part, not the, it's the Aninus part, not the Avelus part. Who cares? Right? The end of the sugya is a problem, and the beginning of the sugya is a problem. Tosas, I say, captures it a little bit. And then I'll just tell you what the Ritva says, and then we'll... Tosas here... one second. Tosas here... Tosas here says as follows. One second. Oh, I'm sorry. That one, I'm wrong daf. That was a problem. Yeah. The bottom of Tosus Dibramasu Boel. Vahashta Mikilina and Tve Baninus Midoraisa, the last four lines. Vahashta Mikilina and Tve Baninus Doraisa. This is particularly for Tosas, because they hold all of Avelus is only Drabanan. Mi Bavelus Drabanan. But Tosas doesn't say it as a question, they say it as a statement. Mididahave ani ila sando vatipa sarosh ukviya samita. It sounds like what Tosas is saying is, we, before the Ramban, hold like the Ramban, namely, that there's an Iser Tashmish Amita Bizman Aninus as well. So you might think, so this is an interesting phenomenon, namely, if Aninus is more Chomor than Avelus, wouldn't you rather wait till the Avelus? However, this is not unprecedented. It actually is consistent. Tosas isn't explaining it, but he's pointing out that it's consistent because when it comes to Atipas Arosh and Kriyas Amita and Nilas Asandol, we're also more machmir in Avelus than we are in Aninus. So it's part of that phenomenon. She doesn't explain it, but it locates it. So I want to just leave you with the following idea. The Ritva also holds like Rambanu Deime, namely that Tashma Shamita begins Bisman Aninus. He is bothered by this question, and he says something quite sensational. I think it's something which is a Pesach to explaining both the Rambam and Ramban going forward. The Ritva says as follows. Machnisin is a mace of cheddar, so chosim that's a kalu lechupa. Pirish Rashi shilo y kovern is a mace tchila. Had you done the kvura first, I achala al of Torah Avelos, the shuvi yashalas is chupa. Vim tomar, ne, the lochala of Torah Avelos, kodum kvura, mikamakar mere chala al of aninos. The misha mace of mutal of fun of osir bebosav yain, vitash mishamita. So what do you gain? Right? Why are you going to violate, you know, because of this simcha? So, well, why should you violate aninus more than you should violate avelus? So he says, "Ve'ishlomar debaninu sekilu she'asauhu ki'ilu nisyaish milakovro shehu muter bebasar v'yayin v'tash mishamita." He added the v'tash mishamita. Kedi isa hasam v'chein pirish betosus. Wow. What the Ritva says is it's an interesting play on the Balei Tosis and Brachos, but it flips what they did. Basically, what the Ritva says is, I hold like the Ramban, right, that Tashma Shamita begins already Baninus. But Pashtus of the Ramban is that Tashma Shamita and whatever else is Asur, Nihugi Avelus that are Asur, is Mananinus, it's not because of the Shem Onen, it's because of the Misa. Right? Now, it's not the Kvura, but the Misa triggers some of the Nihugim. The Ritva apparently thinks that what triggers some of the Nihugi Avelus is Aninus, not Misa, number one. Aninus is a state. And number two, and this is the bigger Chiddush, the Hagdara of Aninus is Misha Mesa Mutalafanov, a person who's involved, if not actually, at least emotionally and psychologically, in Kvura Sameis. So what the Ritva says is, that's the Hagdara of Aninus. The reason that there's an Isur Tashma Shamita is because he's an Onein. But what if this Onein was Alpidin, supposed to be focusing primarily not on Kvura Sameis, but on something else? Then his shame Onein would be suspended, even though there was a Misa. And if his Shem Onen was suspended, then there wouldn't be any Sertash Mishamita. Ritva says that's what happened in this sukkah. An Avel is an Avel. And therefore, the fact that he is also a Chasan is irrelevant. But an Onen is a flexible definition, and if we give priority to the Chuppah over the Kvura Sameis, Machnisan Sameis L'cheder, then his shame onen is paka. And if his shown his shame onen is paka, then he doesn't have an Isur Tashma Shamita either. That works with the beginning of the sugya and the end of the sugya. But what are the implications of it? With this I stop. That Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov isn't a pragmatic, you know, mission or task alone. It's a psychological state too. Meaning there are different motifs in Avelus. Ein adome both the tsar and the existential crisis, whatever you want to call it, right, of Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov, and especially Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov, and you're focused on the Kvura, then in the immediate aftermath. And it's not all quantitative either, it's just different. And what the Ritva is telling us is, there's an Isur Tashma Shamita, some other Nihugi Avelus, some of them are Noveya from the status of Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov. But if he's not Alpidin right now, Misha Mesa Muta Lefanov, he doesn't have these dinim. It's not that it's Misa, the Yom Amar, and everything from there is a hierarchy of intensity, you know, of pain. So I want to pick up with next time in 2 weeks, Mirat Hashem, is to go through just a little bit more in the Ritva, but especially in light of this, how does Ramban understand these levels, these gradations? How does the Rambam understand them? And then we'll move on. Maybe we'll discuss about Pa Nehoga Bilusa a little bit, and then we'll move on to Hayom Beis.